Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beyond the Dark tonight, we're going to America to talk to Colin Andrews, who is English. Well, you see, that's a mystery in itself. Colin, why are you in America?
A mystery from the very beginning. Well, I'm in America because, first of all, the crop circle research right back in the early 80s led me to travel the world presenting my findings at that time, where I met a person, an American woman, who I married.
Ah.
Hence, I am now in the United States.
So you, who are somebody who's fascinated by crop circles, actually, because of crop circles, have married.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Exactly what happened.
First of all, I've got to ask about your fascination with crop circles. Tell us the history of your involvement with them.
Well, the history is that I was an electrical engineer. I am an electrical engineer. I was a senior official in regional government, local government, in southern England, in Hampshire. And I was on my way to a meeting one day in July 1983, and I happened to really just take a casual glance to my left down into an amphitheater, you know, down into a valley there near Winchester. And that really is what kind of changed my life, literally, because I saw a set of crop circles there that I had never seen or heard of, and most people hadn't at that time. In fact, I'm the guy that coined the term crop circles shortly after that, because I began as an engineer really just looking at circular, spiraled plants that I couldn't explain. And what I knew, Pete, from the beginning, which, you know, there are very few people in the world that have this particular experience, is that, apart from the farmers, that I walked into that field minutes after I first saw them, and I can assure you that on that occasion, the only track in that field was my own. I mean, I went to the center of these circles, and the only marks at all were my own. And so that was the beginning, and from there I finished up sending, at the request of a military person, my technical reports to Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher's cabinet and to the Queen and to a number of other prominent people in the royal family. And so that was really kind of put me on, you could say, the crop circle map.
Electrical engineer, people like you as an electrical engineer need answers and logical answers. So does this not fall out of the remit of who you are? Or didn't it?
Not really. I mean, not really. I'm still there, you know, as an engineer coming from the sciences. That's my whole background. My family are doctors of one sort or another, and always looking for the scientific explanation. Mm-hmm. It is, of course, true now. I mean, this was nearly 30 years later. It is very abundantly clear that many, since those early days, right to this day, are made by people. There's no question about that. You know, I've invested a tremendous amount of money, as have others like Lawrence Rockefeller, who funded me for a number of years, into that particular aspect of it. But it's kind of clouded the issue because, you know, I've traveled the world looking at that mystery in many countries, over 50 countries around the world that continue to have them, and they are markedly different, somewhat more simple than those you see in the newspapers today, that are not made, in my opinion, by people, because none of the features that we've seen over the years that are made by people are in those others. And it's those others that, to this very day, continue to drive most of my kind of 12 hours of wake time.
Tell me, why did Rockefeller fund you? What did he see in you that fascinated him so much?
Well, Lawrence Rockefeller was a man that had a fascination in the UFO, and indeed attempted, through his own contacts as a senator, to have President Clinton, Bill Clinton, he attempted to have him show an interest enough to have the U.S. government open up its secret files, and they do remain to this day as secret files, on the UFO. But because of the perceived connection through my UK government contacts, the perceived connection that there might be a UFO connection with these simple crop circles. He funded me for a two-year period, multi-thousand-dollar funding, to look very specifically at people making them. That sounds kind of a little counterintuitive, but what it really meant was that he wanted very quickly, with undercover police detectives and retired police people, detectives mainly, private detectives, we had a joint interest to eliminate those that were made by people, hence focusing our attention and additional funds on those that were not. So that was where he came in. And, you know, obviously I continue to be grateful to him for that 2 years' worth of intensive research into people making the crop circles.
So tell me what you believe crop circles are about.
Well, what I believe they are about, and that is after 3 decades now of looking at them, it was really only when I started to talk to people making them, that was about 80% of them in the year 2000, that I began to hear these people telling me about experiences they had during the construction of them that I knew something about. And when I say knew something about, my colleagues of mine and other researchers had also these extraordinary paranormal kind of experiences. And so by embracing those that people into the research that were making them and then continue to research those that were not made by them, I saw one common denominator. And what it was that human consciousness, something was interacting with the people that were even making them. And by that, I mean a kind of intuitive urging to either construct a particular design that was being meditated upon by another group of individuals, and not just anywhere, but in the same fields as the people that were meditating upon that design. These guys would finish up making that design in the very field the meditation was actually underway in. And so that the odds of that happening were so great that I had to take another look at it. And that really has now been the last 10 years' worth. I've just returned now from New Mexico just last night, presenting the up-to-date findings, which are simply extraordinary.
So, Colin, let me stop you there. I'm really fascinated. So are you saying that these are man-made, but the men are controlled?
Yes, let's put it very simply. Yes, that's exactly right.
Wow.
And this is not at all off the map with current science and current thinking. As far as if you look at the neurons of the brain and how they work, how they communicate with the mirror neurons in other human beings. In other words, if I were to, as I'm holding the telephone speaking to you from the United States now, Peter, if you were to see me or even to visualize that, you have a subset of neurons which are called mirror neurons that give you a kind of virtual reality of what I am doing. And the only difference between me in the U.S. and you in the United Kingdom is my skin, because the sensory systems in my hand are holding the telephone that gives me an automatic feedback of what it is I am doing. And so outside of that, we begin to open the door into human consciousness that gives us a scientific support and explanation for some of the things that seems to be happening, particularly in the United Kingdom, with regard to the crop circle phenomenon.
So, Colin, who do you think is controlling their minds?
Well, that is, of course, the bottom line, and I cannot give you a definitive explanation for it.
But who do you think? Who do you think?
I think it's extraterrestrial, to be perfectly honest with you. One is kind of obliged to be led there because there really is very little else place to look. It has been suggested to me. I mean, obviously, I've got many contacts inside and outside of government and other scientific fields of investigation. It has been suggested to me that, well, why couldn't it be an intelligence operation. This is the jet lag from yesterday. But the an intelligence operation from some group like the CIA or whatever. But then again, it's well, why? What interest would they have in an experiment of that kind? For me, I think that the evidence that we as a species are in we have a multiplex of constructs that appear to be decoupling at the moment. They're kind of falling away, you could say, in a state of collapse, whether that's the environment, global warming, or the population, whether it's the solar cycles. You can look at many constructs that are actually falling apart right now, and whether this ties in to where we are going as a species and whether something is doing all it can in that domain to interfere or have an influence in our actions, it may well tie into it. But you've very professionally prompted me to give you answers that I kind of usually struggle with, because if I as an engineer am saying to you, I think extraterrestrials are controlling people in southern England to make crop circles, it sounds a pretty extraordinary way out statement to make. But it's 30 years worth of 12-hour days, a huge amount of data, and it's not one that the media in particular, and I respect you for this conversation in allowing me to come on air to speak about it, but this is not anything that your BBCs and ITNs and CNNs are going to be able to easily deal with in television documentary. It's off the end, and I accept that. It's on the edge of acceptability, but that truly is where it actually looks.
I'm talking to Colin Andrews at this particular moment about crop circles before we talk about UFOs. Do you think, Colin, and we're just surmising this from all the data you've got, but do you think that these people that are being controlled are handpicked for a reason, or are they just being used anybody? They could be me, could be you. What's your theory on that?
My thinking is that they have in some way to have stepped forward. Your average Mr. and Mrs. from the street, from the corner street, it hasn't stepped forward. In other words, they're continuing their day-to-day under the usual pressure of bills and jobs and so on. These individuals, it's a great question, because each of those that I have files on that have had experiences that have led us to look at this much more closely have stepped forward. In other words, these are people who have said, I've got a particular interest in this, and I'm going to either make them, I'm going to meditate on them, I'm going to research them. These are people that have stepped forward and have got involved. And I think that's part one. But I think part two I don't think we will probably have time to go into the detail on, are that if you begin to involve yourself in an experimental fashion, the second criteria is that sincerity and honesty becomes part of the equation. So if I were to meditate, some would say pray. It's a very thin line. Pray to God or meditate for a particular outcome. It is only if that particular request is done with a sincerity, a connection, an emotional connection with our species, with our planet, with our learning, that something happens. And so that is the best answer I can give to you, that you could say, well, that simply means they are handpicked. Yes, I guess it could mean that, but I think there's a little broader spectrum in the choosing of that individual.
Colin, have you put all this data into a book?
I've written a number of books over the years, Pete. The first one, Circular Evidence, was back in 1989. That was the international bestseller that allowed me to say, to hell with my whole-time job, I'm going to take this on to research this full-time. That was the book that was chosen by the Queen for the summer reading list right back in 1989. And I've written a number of others since that time.
How can they find your books?
One on my website, and thank you for asking. It's on colinandrews.net.
Right. Now let's talk briefly, well, not briefly, actually, no, no, just let's talk about UFOs. What are your theories on UFOs, and why our planet, which is the big question?
Yes, it is. I think because we do have the ingredients for life, and I'm sure there are many planets that do, they're not really kind of jumping out the ethers. So I think we have to accept that the ingredients for life is an extraordinary one. It is a wonderful biological or chemical composition that allows life to take a hold and develop. And so, therefore, we immediately come under the microscope for other forms of life that are hopping across the galaxy. My view is that we are on the outer rim of the Milky Way, and that we are have been others have kind of jumped on board our train, and we're moving from one part of the galaxy to another with a number of other species and subspecies that are coming in and out using our planet for genetic material, and that it's a convenience, a corner store, like a warehouse, available to another species to assist it on another on a very similar journey. So I think that's kind of, broadly speaking, where I think it kind of comes about, that UFO is interacting with humanity on the planet Earth. But I have no doubt whatsoever, I'm actually much more deeply involved in the UFO subject than most people are kind of generally aware here in the US, and indeed in the UK. I was instrumental in connecting prominent people here with the UFO desk at the Ministry of Defense in Whitehall back a number of years ago. So, you know, it isn't as if this subject is something that I'm unfamiliar with.
Do you think, and I've never asked anybody this question, it's just because I mean, I have a blank piece of paper, I'm just fascinated talking to people like you. Do you think that we are being investigated or bombarded or visited by UFOs from plenty of planets or just from a planet?
Well, I would have to say I think that I believe there are certainly more than one. There are many, if that is, that the species that are described by people who claim to have seen them, and there are many, they certainly describe more than one particular species. You know, there is the popular, that is would seem to be observed more often than not, is the large-eyed gray, described by many people. That's very different to the smaller Asian-looking, slightly almond-shaped eyes. There was one, a police officer, a police sergeant in Wiltshire just last summer on his way back from Devizes Police Station, who witnessed three extraordinarily tall white beings in white suits and long hair. This is still an ongoing research effort with that policeman that, again, was very different to many other descriptions. So I think there are many, I have to say. I know before, there's another one I think I should throw in here because we do actually have a photograph, and this is available on the website, again, for anybody who wants to look at this. Very credible, one of the world's leading researchers. I know him well myself, Dr. Roger Lear, as a medical doctor who was in Turkey 2 years ago investigating a site that has shown up a number of times in the research of the UFO. In other words, UFOs appear there. And he was fortunate enough with another group of individuals with high-quality television, I beg your pardon, high-quality cameras, who were not television cameras, when a large delta-shaped vehicle or object showed up. They were able with 200 millimeter lens to zoom in on this, and have got two beings could be seen through and inside this craft. That's been fully analyzed by scientists in Turkey and in the United Kingdom, and there we can find, they can find, no problem with the film. I know Roger Lear personally. He's a credible physician, and I know for sure if he tells me that's what he saw through that camera, that's what he saw. So I have no problem whatsoever, and governments know this themselves. The UK just released many secret files. There are other governments have done the same, and there's more to come.
Why do you feel, Colin, that governments hide these facts from us? What is the reason? I don't see the purpose.
No, well, you and I are on the same page, but regrettably, they are not. I think they were caught somewhat, to use the term, with their pants down in 1947, and I think that having made the decision this was going to be kept secret with regard to Roswell, it has remained so. But my view is that the United States are ahead of the game, and I think because they have in their possession a number of extraterrestrial vehicles and have utilized the technologies to some degree, they have more to lose than most by actually now declaring that, yes, they do exist, and they're taking great advantage, thank you, of the technology that has been recovered. So my personal view is that it could well be, of course, the panic syndrome that we hear much about. I don't think there's much that panics the world we're living in, because it's disintegrating at the seams, and there's very little that, you know, isn't exceptional news every day. So I don't think it's that the scare situation at all, that the public would be afraid and headed to the streets in panic. I think it's because the United States, in particular, with allies that are supporting it for what they have, can also get out of it, is there's a technological advantage as a result of the recovery of UFOs.
Colin, do you think there'll be any aggressiveness from UFOs? Or do you think they're all peace people or peace beings?
I don't know the answer to that. I think if we were to show real aggression with advanced technology, things might change in a negative fashion. But speaking to many witnesses, as I have myself, and I'm in touch with all of the leading guys around the world on this subject, it is clear with some of the most the high-caliber witnesses, military witnesses, that they have closed down, that is, UFOs, have closed down nuclear facilities in a number of countries, and some famous cases across the U.S. about 5 or 6 years ago, when they were seen outside above the silos by the guards outside, and the actual missiles were taken offline, not just at that site, but across the whole of the United States in a matter of seconds. This has happened in the USSR too, and so it would seem clear that the UFO has a marked technological advantage to us, and hence why the United States would like to take every advantage of what it has in its possession.
Colin, I'm speechless at that statement. That's amazing. It's interesting too. Your website again?
It's colinandrews.net.
And of all your books, which book do you enjoy most yourself reading back?
Well, the one that actually has just come out, and that is because it covers the last 30 years, and that's the Andrews Catalogue. It sounds a little bit of an odd title, but it's because it has catalogued so many events over the years, and as much scientific support that we've been able to muster is in that book. It's literally just came out the last 5 days.
Colin Andrews, thank you very much for joining us.
That's my pleasure. Thank you, Pete.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.